and welcome to Kiss the Crest. I'm Sean Thomas.
I'm Dave Linata.
I'm Rob Steller.
And hey, welcome. We are doing our inaugural episode. So basically, we're three football fans, or soccer for you fellow Americans.
Yeah.
And basically, we're going to be spending every week talking about all kinds of soccer news, doing reviews of the games of the weekend, transfer news, politics, whatever we really want to talk about.
What we talk about every day anyway.
Basically, yeah. It's just going to be us bantering for about 45 minutes. You know, since this is our first episode, we thought it'd be good to kind of do introductions, kind of so we can talk about what teams we follow and who our favorite players are. So I'm Sean, and my team is Barcelona. That's my primary.
You're a bandwagon fan.
Okay. In my defense, so
you
I
have
say,
no defense.
I have a major defense because I've had to think about this a lot and defend myself. Yeah. So I started following Barcelona in 2008. Actually, take it back a little bit. None of us were soccer fans growing up. I mean, in America, it's just we all played youth soccer,
yeah,
but we never really followed any club teams. But
well, back then it was also impossible to watch. Like, you could not watch football back then. Like, there was it wasn't on TV except for like the Champions League was covered on ESPN back when we were in college, in like the early 2000s or mid 2000s. But there was no way to watch it, like, growing up.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, honestly, the only, obviously, the best player in the world was, who's our favorite player who played at Roma or in Serie A, who's all about set pieces, the American?
Oh, God.
Wallace?
No,
you're not allowed
Alexi
to say
Wallace.
His name on this show.
Alexis.
You're not allowed to
By the
say
way, we're not
name.
Alexi Lalas fans. But
oh, God.
Anyway, so I
you
started...
You played for Roma?
Or something like that.
He was
not Roma.
I think he had like a couple,
maybe a little bit. But anyway, we didn't really follow growing up, and then we all kind of we watched the 2006 World Cup because Rob's part Italian, so he really got into it, and then that's kind of how we all started.
That was pretty much the high for me. It's just been downhill since the 2006 World Cup.
Hey, you got to the finals of the Euros.
Sure. Yeah.
But anyway, so I started following them in 2008, and in my defense, I didn't know anything about them except that they were a big team. Basically, I wanted a bigger club because I didn't know any other clubs. And then finally, it came down to Barcelona versus Madrid. And then I kind of decided, well, I think they had just bought Kaká and Ronaldo in like 2009. So maybe that's when I started watching. And I was like, I don't like a team that spends all their money. I didn't even know who Messi was. I liked Henri, and that was probably it. I didn't realize that we just happened to be at like the height of our power.
Was Ibra
at the
there
time.
Then?
No, Ibra was 2009.
Oh, okay.
Or was it 2011?
It was after.
It was after. It wasn't 2009. But anyway, so I follow Barcelona, which is a great club. And I also have a – we all decided when we started watching football that we'd all have a Premier League team because it's much easier to watch the Premier League in America.
Yeah.
So my other team is Everton. I kind of like the Toffees.
Yeah, baby.
The
Blue Kippers.
That's my main team. What about you, Dave?
Okay. I'm Portuguese, so I grew up watching...
You're also part Italian.
That is true. I'm half and half.
And you turned your back on the Italians.
once Ronaldo decided to go to Manchester United, that's when I kind of picked up the Man United kick that I'm on.
So Dave thinks
I'm
he's
a
really
man.
Hot.
I'm a hard... yeah, pretty much. I'm a hardcore Man United fan. Portuguese, obviously. So Ronaldo was there. Sir Alex, you know, I fell in love with Sir
he's
Alex.
He's pretty good. I hear he won a couple titles.
Just a couple. So I'm a hardcore Man U fan. Ronaldo, Nani, like they're doing now with some of the new signings. But obviously Portugal national team.
Yep.
And Ronaldo, best player in the world.
All right.
Well, that's debatable.
So I started following back in 2005, just before the World Cup started, when we were freshmen in college, because we could watch the Champions League on ESPN, and I started following it. And I, being Italian, like I always, of course, you know, supported the Italian national team, and so my family's from just outside of Milan, so it came down to, okay, am I going to follow AC or Inter Milan?
The debate.
So being that AC is the real Milan, and also just the fact that their whole mentality was that they wanted to keep the talent within Italy and not get jamokies from around the world. So I chose AC, and they've been my team. I have since found out that all my cousins there support AC anyway, so that was the right choice, clearly. In recent years, maybe not so much. But obviously, you know, so I put the national team. Sean, you know, said we picked a Premier League team early on. And so my team, because I was a Ben Johnny fan when I started watching.
Ben Johnny. Does anybody
Ben remember? Johnny. So I followed Portsmouth. Who has since fallen from grace and is no longer in the Premier League. So, yeah, I kind of bounce around. I don't really have a solid Premier League club that I follow anymore. I've decided to wholeheartedly and fully support Milan, which has been a lot of tears and anger and frustration recently.
Yeah, they've been – oh, wow, Portsmouth is in League 2 now.
Yeah, they're
– that's I not think good. They were in third league
they
last
may have,
year.
They may have moved might up. Have
well, they were in 16th place last season at League 2, yeah. So they were just above the drop.
They're not there anymore.
Yeah, but whatever. City's doing better, though. Well, so now that we've figured out what our best teams are, who's your favorite player? Now, I mean – if you start with me, I'm a Barca fan. I think there's pretty much only one choice.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Pedro.
Yes, Pedro. No, obviously Lionel Messi. I could do a whole show on explaining why I think he's amazing.
Please don't. I don't want to hear that.
So just a quick thing I will say, and I'm sure we'll have this topic eventually. I think he can be talked among the greatest, but I'm totally against the whole this is the greatest player or whatever. They're different eras, different whatever, but he's done so well that clearly he's among the greatest.
I will say it's been interesting, though, because I think, you know, you say, okay, Pele was the best player, the Maradona, but I don't think there was overlap, or if there was, it was like a year or two, right?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that. I don't think they played in a World Cup together, because I think Pele ended in the 70s.
The interesting thing is that now there are two players who are arguably the best player in the world that are playing the exact same time.
I mean, I think sort of, but like you almost think, are you forgetting about all the other great players that were playing during Pele's era? Like, I don't know. When did Beckenbauer play? I mean, or when did Platini play? When did, well, Ronaldo and...
they were later.
And the French headbutt, wow, Zidane. They played at the same
French
time.
French headbutt.
Yeah. It's sad that that's how, like, you remember, but Zidane and Ronaldo played at the time. When you think of those players, I mean, I guess there wasn't as much.
No, but there was, like, the Pele era, and then there was the Maradona era, right? And now it's the Messi and Ronaldo era, which is
When you say who the best player in the world is right now, like,
there's a debate.
I mean, it's only two players that people are discussing, you know?
Yeah, Ronaldo is ridiculous, but what is...
And for different... Favorite. I mean, but Ronaldo is clearly my favorite player. Frustrates me at times, but I still think he's the best player overall in the world right now. And obviously Messi...
Because you're wrong.
Yeah, right.
Wrong.
And Messi's obviously right there with him, but I'd have to give the edge to my man.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
CR7, baby.
He's not even the real Ronaldo. But no, it's funny because people always complain about his personality. But, I mean, and you see this in a lot of... It's not just football. You see it in music and movies. Like, that personality is what drives him. Every single player I've heard talk about him, they say how much of a perfectionist he is and how he is there all the time training. Kind of him being pissy is because he always has to be the best. And I'm sure he gets pissed off because Messi is so quiet, so everybody gives him all the platitudes. So that just makes him want to try that much harder. And so it's like...
But, yeah, so that, you know, Ronaldo, I think, is my favorite player. Just make, again, the menu, Portugal combination, and obviously his world-class skills.
You know, you're not like a Pepe fan or...
Nani. I've met Nani before, so he's up there.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right. Yeah, he's up there. Nani. Portuguese, Man U again.
Portuguese
so.
Where power. Where was he? Where was
Sporting.
He when he
Sporting,
he was at Sporting,
Sporting is like the Portuguese. Well, I think it's like the Portuguese, like where they start off their
career.
Yeah, it's like, and then Ronaldo and Nani both came from there, and now there's better. You know, same thing. You know, other guys that are.
Do you know how young Ronaldo was when he left?
I want to say young. Yeah, I want to say teens, very right? very late teens yeah, or maybe yeah. early like you know 2021. I feel like I should know that, but
seriously, you haven't followed his life.
Yeah. Right.
All right, so I'm going to have to go – well, so most people who know me would think Pipo. Like, Pipo is, like, hands down one of my favorite players of all time.
Some say he's still offside.
Yeah, so it's funny because I model myself playing for our – Dave and I play on a team together.
Oh, by the way, if you don't know who Pipo is, Filippo
Inzaghi,
Milan player,
affectionately known as Pipo. Yeah, so he just—I don't know—the goals that he scored, like in the 07 Champs League final when he got both goals, even though Kaká kind of just like ricocheted off of him or Pirlo did.
Whatever, whoever scores.
So yeah, so I think he's just scored a lot of memorable goals for me. But I think you know, it's tough because he's not seen as one of the top players of all time. So, you know, if I think about
more, but Champs League goals, remember he was big. Battling with Raul.
He was.
If it wasn't for Raul and Messi.
Yeah, up until, you know, Messi just passed Raul, he was, I think, Raul one behind him. Yeah. So, I think Kaká is the other player I've always just loved watching. And, like, one of my favorite goals of all time being against United. I think it was in 07 leading up to the championship. When he pokes it through the two defenders that crash into each other and then finishes. But anyway, yeah, so I think between the two, it's going to be Kaká and Pipo.
Yeah, and I mean, when you think about it, how much they mean to your club.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the makes it hard.
But you can only choose one.
I can only choose one.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man. Kaká left us.
Yeah, I feel like it's got to be Pipo.
It's got to be Pipo.
And it's kind of unfortunate that Pipo got kind of like Seedorf, the guy that got pushed out of coaching.
I know, and he was doing good too.
I don't know.
Debatable, but
stuff happens. But anyway, enough about us. So, you know, this has actually been a crazier summer than you would expect.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's a World Cup. There was a lot of FIFA stuff going on. There are a lot of big transfers. I kind of didn't expect this much to happen, Copa America happened. So even though we don't get week in, week out games, there's still a lot of things happen. So the first thing I feel like I have to talk about, something that felt like it was coming, but it kind of felt like it was never going to happen.
Yeah.
Sepp Blatter is gone. Mm-hmm. Like, wow. I feel like not yet.
Yes,
he's still there.
He's still there.
Things have changed. I mean, Sepp Blatter was one of those guys that everybody said he needs to be out.
Yeah.
But there was no chance of him ever leaving. So
it's wild to me because FIFA is like the biggest nonprofit in the world as far as like money that they bring in and stuff like that. Their employees make just ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah,
they have more countries than the United Nations, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, which is kind of funny.
And everyone knew that they were corrupt. Like this was just openly. It was just like, okay, they're corrupt.
And for the
like,
biggest sport in the world, you would think people would take it more seriously.
And the funniest thing to me is that the people behind this were U.S.
Like, yeah, who cracked down
of
on
all
it,
the people, all the countries who really should have been behind this, it was us, which is
I was
ridiculous.
Super surprised, but my understanding it has to do with, was it Chuck Webb? The guy who flipped was it Chuck Webb? I think I have the
one
name
of his,
wrong.
Yeah, one of his
but he, I mean, he's the guy who flipped, and he's an American citizen. He was our representative, so no, it's not Chuck Webb.
How long did Chuck he span for anyway?
Blazer, yeah, right?
Sepp, how long was he there for?
Sepp was there for, he was at FIFA for like 40 years. Yeah. He was president for like 25.
As long as we,
he was there, Chuck Blazer.
Yeah.
I don't know who Chuck Webb is.
So, he just completely made
some American football player some other time. But so it's, you know, U.S. Department of Justice banged down some doors. They're still going through all these indictments and things like that. People are getting extradited. I forgot who the other day they said is getting extradited to the U.S. But either way,
I think like 12 of the top officials got just
it's
cleaned
I mean
out.
It's insane. And I mean, they said how blatant the money they were getting. I mean, Blazer was getting money for his place in Manhattan, a place he had in like Florida. He just was getting money straight up.
Well, what pisses me off though is that I mean, one of the biggest things that probably started this is the U.S. lost the bid for the World Cup in 2022, I think, right? So the one that Qatar won.
Yeah, I think that's 2022.
So
it's 2018 Russia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, Qatar won the bid, even though it was like known that Jamaica, one of the islands.
Took millions of dollars.
Yeah. They took millions of dollars in bribe money that pushed Qatar through to get the bid, and like the U.S. would have won it if it wasn't.
Well, maybe
for that.
That's why they decided.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So the U.S. is just like, no, F this.
There's like, yep. Back.
Well, so here's the weird question I have. So, Sepp Blatter, I mean, it's clear there were bribes, there's voting scandals, and clearly most of these votes were rigged. But one thing a lot of people, the reason why he had so much support is to vote him out, it's one of those things where you need like 2/3 vote, and he may not have had all the support in the bigger countries, but he had all the support from all the smaller nations, and that was enough to make up that 2/3. So the thing is, he was the first one to have one at a World Cup in Africa. If it's in Qatar, it'll be the first one
in the Middle East. Yep.
And I mean, Africans love football.
Yep.
The Middle Eastern, I mean, you think about how many clubs have been bought by Middle Eastern sheikhs and things like that.
Yeah.
So do you guys think, I mean, when you think about what countries are best to host the World Cup, it's going to be America, England.
Sure.
Like, it's always going to be European because we have the biggest stadiums. But
the infrastructure.
Do you think, I mean, the fact that it was going to go to these countries, like, was that a good thing that he did?
I think it was good. Like, Africa, like you said, I mean, there are tons of fans that follow it, obviously, in these countries, way more than the U.S. And they also, they spend, like, especially in the Middle East and Southeast Asia too, they spend a ton of money on jerseys, like on everything. Like, a lot of the money FIFA gets comes from these countries too, right? Which probably a lot less from the US. So I think they deserve World Cups. That said, like, the way that they got them wasn't the best. Yeah. And also, like you said, I mean, there's just all these other issues that happened. Yeah, like all these stadiums that were built
that they can't use anymore.
Yeah, aren't used anymore. Yeah. And I think the Africa one was one of the lowest attended, wasn't it, in recent history?
I don't know. I mean, I figure they made a lot of makeshift stadiums. I don't know. Maybe they have cricket stadiums, but I can't imagine.
Well, a lot of them weren't even finished, I think, right?
Yeah, and so, I mean, same thing with Brazil. They had so many situations where, I mean, yeah, it definitely goes both ways. That's a crappy thing of hosting any international event like that. But I guess, in a weird way, I'm in support of the fact that countries like this
It's good to see.
And I hope it's good to see that.
I mean, I was just going to say, I still believe that the bigger, more household name countries should get them more often.
Well, in terms of backlash,
a lot of the people that live in these countries too, not all of them are accepting the bids. So I know in Africa, weren't there a lot of people that were against them winning the bid and arguing about it?
Well,
so, I mean,
they knew it was going to happen.
If America won, would anyone really be pissed about them winning it? I don't think that's really much of an issue in terms of, you know, stadiums, costs, you know, workers, whatever it need be.
Yeah, because
same thing with other countries.
I mean, honestly, even though we're not obsessed with football as like the rest of the world is, I'm pretty sure. I mean, the 94 World Cup that was in America is still the highest attended one because we have college football stadiums are huge.
Well, it's
They're
not
way
like
bigger.
That. It's just it's easier to travel here and get around.
Well, I mean, but if you can fit 120, that like you it's actually funny. I don't want to get off on this, but you look at like Chelsea Stadium, it's something like 40,000. Yeah. I mean, UConn Stadium, Rentschler Field is like 35 to 40. Yeah. So there are a lot of smaller stadiums, and it's, you know, if you wanted the most money, you'd be in the U.S. every single World Cup.
Yeah, well, I'm
that'd
not
be
asking,
stupid.
Yeah, I'm not
yeah
asking
but
math,
you,
you know, England, Spain, France, Germany.
I mean, it was in Germany.
All the major countries.
You can't have it in Europe every time.
No, no, I know. You know, in South America too. Brazil. There are some other major.
Where was it in 02? It was France.
France was
98. So 2002 was.
I mean, China, Japan.
I mean, China had the Olympics. I don't see why they wouldn't have the World Cup eventually. They got to use bird's nest for something.
Yeah, India.
But yeah, definitely India. But well, okay. But going past that, I mean, do you think something's going to change in FIFA? I mean, we know the corruption's happened. Well, there could be a situation where the new person who comes in, like maybe Platini is the head of UEFA, maybe he gets in and he just does the same stuff. Because I mean, Sepp Blatter kept a lot of people happy. So do you think things are going to change, or just going to be the same old shit?
I don't know. I feel like some things have to change. Like, they can't be so blatant about stuff because now there's people watching them. Like, there's got to be some more rules and regulations put
in
place.
For the next few years, anyway, the next election period.
Is football in general going to change? Probably not. Like, I don't think the game itself is going to change. No. Like, I don't think they're going to change the bids and everything like that.
I mean, we got goal line technology.
I think the bids definitely have to get re-voted on.
Well, I don't think that's a question.
No, but I mean, why wouldn't they? I mean, why? Shouldn't they?
They should. They should, but I don't think they will.
Do you think Russia is too soon?
No, Russia definitely can't change. Dude, cannot change Russia. It's 3 years away.
Men's World Cup, right, but I mean, that's
2018.
But they've already started investing money into building stuff.
Yeah, but it's not like it's 1-2 years. It's still 3 years away. I mean, I know they've invested some money.
I don't think
you'd be surprised how long it takes.
If they just ceased what they're doing, I think it would save them more money than it would to build all of.
I think definitely.
I mean, definitely Qatar should be.
But I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think they've decided whether they're going to
go. The other thing with Qatar, though, is that there's all these other issues, like the heat, for example. The fact that you can't drink.
Oh, yeah, wait. Didn't they announce that they were doing a Winter World Cup?
That's what you can't move it.
It
just
can't
messes
move into the
up.
Winter.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
That's a whole nother topic where
so
you're in the
what
middle of the season.
Yeah, so you
and
have
the Premier League still has. I mean, the Premier League, they all have time to decide. I'll say that thing. They have. It's 2022, so like the Premier League plays through winter. They could get rid of Boxing Day. Like, they could just not do that.
Yeah, but that means you're taking a solid
month out of the.
What they would have to do is just, like, I think shrink down the period of the World Cup. Like, because they spread it out fairly well.
You can't do that.
I mean, let's say like the U.S., they play in a group play, right? They usually get like 3 days off before their next game.
Oh, and just have shorter?
So why do they really need the 3 or 4? Sometimes it's longer.
That's a lot
because
of games.
How many groups
it is a
are
lot
there?
Of games. So one thing, they're going to be at peak fitness, but they're also. Well, I guess they'll just be a peak.
Not only that, but it changes the domestic league because you're going to have players that get injured during the World Cup who normally
wouldn't
have.
I'm against it. Yeah, I'm against it for sure, but.
I think we're all in agreement. I think it should stay in the summer, but I don't know how you do it in Qatar.
Unless it's you have air conditioned stadiums, like
which
that's the only
is thing. Impossible.
Well, I mean, they have the money for it.
They said they were going to do it, but that's not happening anymore because I literally don't think it's possible.
It's crazy. But,
I mean, if you're going to arrest all these FIFA executives and stuff, though, how can you keep the bids after clearly it's
I know.
You know? That, so that's, if you're going to arrest them thing. For this stuff,
yeah, where you clearly rigged.
Why would you keep? I mean, I know, you know, again, if it was a year from now or like even two, but I mean 3 years in, yeah, you know, we have 3 years left. I mean, that's really that's in the beginning stage of, you know, when did they announce the winners, like last year?
Beginning of last year,
I think it was after the World Cup.
Oh yeah, that's true. I guess
it really hasn't been that long.
I feel like it takes a while, but I don't know. You know, and I guess they just didn't they just host the Winter Olympics, although that's pretty different. But
yeah,
but
and Russia has. It's not like Russia's doing this massive building. I'm sure they have.
I don't know. I guess
they are building, but they there was a lot of issues with the world with the Olympics though, with like just things just not built at all.
Yeah, and human rights people aren't that big of a fan of Russia. I mean, I guess Qatar and you know South Africa. Africa, you're not really dealing with that much better. Anyway, so kind of building off FIFA, you know, this was the Women's World Cup this year. And I just have one thing to say. USA! 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 So finally, you know, it's funny how you look at the Men's World Cup and we've gotten a lot better, but
I mean, you guys know this. Like, I can't watch the US team. Like, I find no enjoyment supporting them.
There's
like,
some nasty moves in the first couple games.
I just don't.
Tim Howard versus Belgium. I mean, that was a wall.
I just do not find. I genuinely
Julian
enjoyed,
Green with that nasty like.
It was nice. Thing. It was nice. I watched the U.S. Ghana game on Rio Beach last year. So that. Was
oh
nice.
Yeah, you were in Brazil.
Yeah, so that was nice. But I just
it's
don't.
It's hard to get behind.
I cannot get behind them. And watching the women, like they play so well together. They were just so technically good that it's just it was easy for me to get behind them.
Yeah, they won 1-0 like every game. No, I'm just kidding.
But, except for the final.
You know, the final they broke out.
And also, what I was going to say is, one thing I was complaining about is men's finals lately have all sucked. So when Spain won the World Cup, it was 1-0. It went to extra time, and I think it was 1-0.
Yeah.
Then when Germany beat Argentina, it went to extra time, and it was 1-0.
Italy.
Copa America was went to PKs, 0-0. Yep. Like
2006 World Cup was 1-1.
I mean, that's
kind of,
that's just, suspenseful. I mean, you want close games.
I want
like,
I
unless
think
we're from
least,
the U.S.
at least 3 goals, like maybe 2-1. Like there should be.
But I mean,
when
US
it's 0-0 to
5-0 in like after that point, everybody in the world was trying to go, "Oh, this is over." Like
it's
probably,
nice to see goals.
Know.
I'll say, yeah, that was too bad. Japan didn't show up. Like it probably should.
They
have
actually
Japan,
fought back.
But
way
then,
too far
I mean,
behind then.
Yeah,
it wasn't gonna happen.
You're not gonna be Team USA. But it's you know it's crazy to see. I mean, obviously being American, it's really cool to see a team you can get behind. But the crazy thing is. Everybody else got behind them too. Yeah. The finals was in America was watched more than the NBA finals and the Stanley Cup finals.
Yeah,
which,
that's crazy.
I mean, how would you ever? Not only is it soccer, which isn't that popular, it's only growing. It's a women's team, which honestly, I would say outside of tennis, maybe golf, there just isn't that much viewership. Like the WNBA doesn't do well. I mean, I don't even remember what the name of the soccer league, the women's soccer league is in America. I mean, it's just not watched. So to see the Women's World Cup be that popular, that's pretty crazy to me. Or it speaks poorly of the NBA. And I don't know, one or the other.
No, I think it's definitely a good thing. It's showing that there's definitely a rise in popularity of soccer in general in the States, which we've been seeing in the last five-ish years or so.
Yeah.
But again, I think it's just that they were just a good team and the men suck. Like they never do well in these big tournaments. Yeah. So it's just, you know, it's
I think
always,
our high point was when we got to the quarterfinals under Bruce Arena.
Yeah.
I think that's what started interest.
What's that tournament before the World Cup's called?
When we beat
Cup
Spain.
Or
yeah.
World Cup or whatever
Confederation Cup. Yeah,
we beat Spain.
Yeah,
that's right. And we were up on Brazil in the first half.
Yeah.
And then we lost. Oh,
they were
man.
All playing like B-League team.
I don't know, though. I think, like, they were playing
some
players,
but they don't take it.
I don't know. Us winning, I'll take that
beat Spain.
That's
crazy.
Because they were still in that time when they would never lose, so.
But that gave us hope, and then they got
destroyed. Then it got
shot.
Hey, man, what year was Robert Green? We're good at getting own goals.
That was bad. No, I think it's good. I think it's good to see a women's sport be that popular because, like you said, I mean, those tend to just not have viewership in general, and regardless of sport. And again, just how well the team played throughout the tournament, and you know, seeing everybody get behind it. Like there were just random people I would just like hear walking around talking about the women's team.
Yeah, playing, which is crazy.
Which you just actually never hear that.
You really don't. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just think I'm going to take a little bit of a different take on this.
Go ahead. That's why you're here.
Yeah. So I just think, you know, I wasn't surprised at all that they won the World Cup, and I'm more surprised that they haven't won one in so long.
Yeah.
I just think soccer, when you grow up, especially with you know, girls, is just definitely one of the most popular sports, and they're easily one of the favorites every World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, most
you know, again, maybe not the favorite, but
there's
always
also a big difference between first and third world countries when it comes to women's sports too.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah. So I wasn't surprised, and I think, I mean, anytime you get a, you know, a home, you know, home field advantage or
relatively
that being
home,
Canada, yeah. And just the fact that if your nation or your school or your team is doing well, you're going to naturally follow them and just go nuts when they win it.
Yeah, you know? No, that's so true. It is cool because, I mean, it's the Olympics and soccer are the only, for the most part, the only national teams you can get behind. The only problem with the Olympics is it's so many different events. Right. It's different when you have, like, a game you can follow, a team, people you can follow
same,
and stuff.
Same
so it's cool that, yeah, everybody gets behind
it. Can I ask you guys, so what did you think about them playing on the turf field? Because there were reports, like, there were some games where the field itself was, like, 120 degrees when they kicked off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is absurd. I mean, just the fact that they're playing on turf in general,
I think,
is ridiculous.
Yeah, a lot of it might just be the climate they're in. Like, Canada, obviously, in the winter, the winters are probably one of the worst winters in most, you know, most countries. So,
but I'm sure they've done it in some countries.
But they're doing a lot of football teams. A lot of the new football stadiums, like especially like Foxborough, they put in artificial turf just because they can't withstand the winters. Like, the fields just get so torn up and beat up that...
We'll put it another way. What do you think would happen if the Men's World Cup had turf?
People
would flip out.
Yeah, it would be crazy.
It would just not be accepted.
Right.
And
I mean, I don't know.
It sounds like kind of is it cheaper or what is it that you
did they say?
I mean, it had something to do from what I heard. I don't know how true this is. It had something to do with the fact that like where you played in the country affected the grass, so they didn't want playing on one side of the country
to level
a lot different than the other side.
Really?
Which, that's where if you get.
I don't know how true that
it's
is.
Still like, snowing.
It seems like a cop out. Yeah. It seems
well, kind of like in champs, like when you go to travel to play like a lesser
field.
The fields
shitty.
Are awful
yeah.
and it affects your play. So here, if you just have turf, it levels the whole playing field.
I still think at the end of the day, regardless,
if
it was the Men's World Cup, people would flip out.
Like Toronto FC probably doesn't play on turf.
Yeah, I don't know what's elevation for Toronto. I don't even know.
I don't know. But
well,
it's,
you don't know
like
these facts. The Sounders play on like an AstroTurf, like a fake grass turf.
Who?
The Sounders.
Do they really?
Yeah, that's like I mean, again, the grass technology, I'm not too into it.
Yeah, how they.
I mean, it's not real grass. It's like, you know, it might kind of feel like it, but it still runs. The ball runs on it.
I guess. I mean, you know, just from playing, though, that playing on turf is.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge difference.
Way different than playing on grass.
Okay, so, I mean, talk about that. I'm glad we won, and I'm just going to say before. I believe that we could win.
Oh, God.
That
Jesus.
Is the worst chance.
No, Sean, you got it wrong. I believe that we just won.
Okay, so that was great. We're going to do a quick commercial break, and we'll catch you after halftime.
Kiss the Crest is part of the Commentist Network, which is a collection of great podcasts covering a wide range of topics, from tech news to music to Dungeons & Dragons to veganism and positive living. For more information about Kiss the Crest or to check out our other great shows, go to thecommentist.com.
Okay, we're back. So, I want to get back to European football. So, a lot of transfers have happened. Probably the biggest one of the summer so far. I mean, we're only halfway through, so there's still a lot to go. But the biggest three were Raheem Sterling. Mm.
This is dollars-wise. This is like actual...
Well, so we're putting it in...
Well,
sure.
Put it in
I'm going to think the Man U transfers are all the biggest.
So the biggest, monetarily, the biggest transfer, Raheem Sterling. He went for $70 million from Liverpool to Man City.
That's ridiculous.
And then number two is Roberto Firmino. He went from Hoffenheim to Liverpool for $41 million.
Hoffenheim.
And then third is Kondogbia going from Monaco to Inter for $40 million. So, I mean, the big one is Sterling. Sterling was the one. We didn't know he was going to leave. He had the falling out with Rodgers. And we didn't know what was going to happen because Man City wouldn't up their fee, but Liverpool wouldn't sell. Do you think he's worth that much? And do you think Man City needs him?
I mean,
he's still young. He's really young.
He's very good.
Money isn't an issue when it comes to City.
Everyone knows it's not. But, like, who is he going to replace?
I mean,
what's the thing? So he went from a team, he was playing pretty much every game.
Right. Yeah. Especially because Sturridge was
obviously
out.
Behind right. the scenes, there was probably some issues with who knows what, maybe not signing certain guys, not playing certain guys, but he was playing. What did they finish? Like sixth, fifth?
I mean,
seventh? They might have fell down near the end of the year.
No, I think they definitely didn't finish top three, I don't think.
No, they didn't.
Because it was Chelsea, City, then.
And, you know, was it relatively new coach.
Wow, we should know this.
He was playing, you know, majority of every game. He was doing halfway decent. He wasn't as good as he was the year before, I don't think.
Sixth. Finished sixth.
Very nice. So I don't know what caused him to get all, you know, disgruntled and decide to just up and
out. Well, I wonder if everybody's kind of down on Rodgers because they did so well, but now it kind of feels like last year was the Suarez year. When I say last year, I mean, I guess two seasons ago.
Right.
After leaving, it kind of feels like, well, Sturridge was injured. He was huge. He was supposed to, you know, take up Suarez's place, but he was out. And I feel like all the buys they got from Southampton kind of didn't really work out. So it almost feels like everybody was down on Rodgers. So it's funny because a lot was put on Sterling's shoulders when he – I don't know if he was ready yet. Like,
no, he's still 19, 20? He's still pretty young.
Early 20s, yeah.
I think he's a lot younger than
he's young. He's definitely young, but he needs to
– That and he's, what, 5'6", 150 pounds?
Yeah, he's not a big guy. He's tiny.
Yeah, but that's his whole game speed.
By the way, am I the only one who thinks he has the funniest walk or run? Like, he has this goofy run.
Yeah, the Arjun Robin run. Yeah.
He's 20. Jeez. He was born in Jamaica? I did not know that.
Wow.
Thank you, Wikipedia. Yeah,
Sean does not know all
this. Yeah, no, I'm done. You look at City. Obviously, Aguero's there. But Dzeko, I mean, who are their main strikers?
I don't know how Dzeko's still there. I don't understand.
Who are their other main strikers?
Jovicic, who didn't play. He was hurt and everything.
I remember in preseason he was scoring, and then it's like after that.
Negredo left.
Negredo wasn't doing well.
He's not really a striker. He'd play more on the wings.
I think
he'll get some time. I can't think of too many other wingers that they have.
He's got to start.
Nasri.
But that's all midfield. They have a solid midfield. Like, I like Torre. Yeah. Silva's really good. Right. Nasri, it depends. Like, Milner can be strong, but I feel like.
Yeah, so I think he'll definitely give them a speed element. Not that they don't have it, really, but that's always.
Navas, but he hasn't been doing well as a midfield.
Boney's still there.
Yeah, they just bought Boney.
He didn't play. He hasn't played at all.
He didn't play at all, which is unfortunate.
I love
Boney, though. He's so good.
Who else they have? Yeah, it's weird. You'd think
a lot of players. They just got Delph too.
Let's not even talk about that.
Well, oh boy,
Delph.
Sterling. You know, definitely don't think his actions were warranted, but.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. He wanted out. I think it'll be an improvement for them. I don't know if he's worth $70 million, but considering their other reserves, like he could. I mean, then again, I think about how Chelsea threw out Sturridge, and then he turned out, well, if he's not injured, to be really good. So maybe Sterling turns good.
Yeah,
who knows what Liverpool will do with that money. I mean, they'll buy
Maybe that's why he did it, just to get Liverpool some cash.
He's being
he's going to come back.
He felt bad. Gerrard's leaving, so he's got to.
Honestly, that's a lot of money though, so they can make two big transfers with $70 million. So, you know,
I mean, if you add up his value and see some of the other values of the guys that have been going to the other teams, I would much rather have these other guys, multiple, you know, three or four guys versus Sterling.
It's Pogba money right there.
Seriously,
yeah, right.
So, okay, I mean, enough about that. What do you guys think about the other transfers, Firmino and Kondogbia? Like, I actually don't know that much about them.
Like,
to be honest,
I don't know how. I don't know how Inter has this much money to spend.
Yeah,
I don't understand where it's coming from.
Because they did not do well this year. I mean, they still have a strong support, but they're just like AC. You know, it's
or Malmö. Yeah, Agbia has a lot of hype. Went to Monaco, who had a fairly good team. He did, you know, did fairly well there, but he still has a lot of hype. He's a younger midfielder.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a good signing for them for sure, but they spent a lot of money on him. Like Rob said, I don't know, Inter hasn't really been much of a player in Serie A lately.
I don't know. Somehow they got that, though. I mean.
So, yeah, Firmino is obviously a good signing. I like him a lot, but he came from Hoffenheim, you know. A mid-table team probably in the German league.
I mean, maybe it's just inflation of numbers, but what makes them worth that much? I mean, I guess you're buying off potential a lot.
Yeah, a lot of it's just the teams that they know Liverpool has money. You know, they know.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. Once they know, this is the same problem with any team that has a lot of money, like the United, Madrid, Barca, right. Like they just, when you know they have money, they're going to force you to pay.
You're worried about other teams, so you just throw a big number out.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want your guy, you might have to spend a little bit.
So then, I mean, there are a couple other big names that were sold. So United bought Schneiderlin.
Yeah, baby.
So
Schweiner. The Schweins.
What do you think about that?
I actually watched watched their first preseason game already. And he's world-class, obviously. I think he's going to make
a huge difference. Where do you think he's going to slot in? Like, who do you think
right in the middle. I mean, he's a center midfielder. Carrick's going to be a sub. Or, you know, start some games. But Schweinsteiger in the middle, I mean, it was preseason. But last night, they literally just were looking for him, giving him the ball, and he was just doing everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what he is. He's just a playmaker. I think he's huge. I don't like the fact that he's pushing 30. And I think he's going to be on the decline soon, but for the first few years, I think he'll definitely make him a
better. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's good to have that experience though, especially, you know, you need, and obviously, you know, the big one on the horizon is, De Gea and Ramos. You know, is De Gea going to go to Madrid? I feel like De Gea.
I think it's inevitable. Yeah.
I mean, he is on the U.S. tour with United, which is weird in my opinion, but at the same time, it just seems like De Gea. I mean, he's Spanish. It just fits everything.
Yeah. Which, you know, I'm torn too, because if they're going to keep him, they obviously need to sign him. But if they're not, why wouldn't you sell him to get something for him? Because he's going to going to get anything for him.
Free
so they're basically they just want him for this year, which I think is what's going to happen. They're not going to budge on getting Ramos more cash. And if they don't, they're just going to play it out and just have a really, really, you know, the best goalkeeper in the Premier League.
I don't know. I feel like Madrid, money-wise, they can totally do it, and they need that. Casillas is gone, and Navas is he's just not going to start. I don't think it's going
to happen. This new guy they just bought, who the heck is that?
Oh, they bought, Kiko Casillas.
He's not going to be a starter.
I don't know. I almost feel bad for all these guys who are clearly the second string. Like, they're not going to play. But the thing is, the question is Ramos. Like, Ramos is a Madridista. Apparently, he wants to leave, though. But I don't know. These are all reports, but they would want to keep him. Like, Ramos is important, and he'd be a good signing for
They need United. A center back.
Yeah, you need a center back, and he's mature. Like, he is hot-headed, so. He's good, and I think he would be. He'd probably fit in the Premier League. He's a pretty big guy. Like, he's aggressive.
I think he'd be a good fit. He can play, you know, he can definitely give him some experience in the back, which is what they need. They need a center back that has some, you know, him or Otamendi, I think, would be a good sign. And if you have to include De Gea in there, I'd hate to give him up. But if you're gonna get rid of him or he's gonna leave, you have to get something for him.
Yeah,
that's the other thing too. I mean, there's a couple options that Cillessen from the Dutch goalkeepers.
Yeah,
a younger goalie, but he's definitely on the upper. Where does
he
play?
He plays in the Dutch league, right?
I think so. I mean, he might be in the German. I think he's actually at Wolfsburg or something, a German team.
And you guys were looking at
Begovic was an awful. I'm so happy they didn't get Begovic. He's a backup at Chelsea now.
Well, weren't you guys also looking at Oblak? And
he'd be a good choice too. I think Oblak is young. You know, he's definitely on the up rise.
Oblak, he was good when Cillessen, what's his name was out.
Lloris, I would take. But Begovic was going
to. I mean, it would be an upgrade for any of them. For any of them going to United, that'd be.
Yeah, so I mean, if you know he's gonna leave, I mean, I don't understand why not get something for him and just get another young up and coming keeper.
So since we're on keepers, I feel like we have to talk about Petr Cech to Arsenal.
Oh boy,
that's crazy! It's so crazy.
I mean, he was Chelsea. Now I totally understand that Courtois is just better. He's younger and just at this point, but That's crazy. I'm kind of glad it happened in that he clearly wanted to play. He wanted to play in England.
Is he
going
to
let him play? I mean, who else are they going to stick with? What's his name? Like they need a good keeper. Yeah. They're a consistent keeper. And Cech knows Premier League. He's still really good.
That was a very good signing.
I mean, he
how
could.
How much was someone?
$15 million, $14 million.
That's not too bad.
So it wasn't that expensive. Yeah. But I mean, it's not going to make Arsenal into like a world beating team.
No,
but that's a good
thing.
Definitely improves.
It's definitely a big thing.
And leadership.
Sure.
I mean,
definitely.
Instantly you add that. But
Then you get to sell those little skull caps to all your fans. It's a big seller.
Yeah, that's true. Dude,
I still don't
know
why he wears. He's just paranoid.
Because he had a concussion.
Yeah, but that was years ago. You must have just got used to it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe he needs to. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Peter Chick.
His brain falls out if he doesn't wear it.
Okay, so I think we're going to end it off. We're going to do a little segment called Stoppage Time, where we basically just have a question or topic we just talk about real quick. So we just want to go over. So how do you think your club did in the transfer window so far? So we already talked about United a bit, but what do you think, like, overall of who you bought?
I mean, overall, very good.
Well, who'd you buy so far? Who are your big ones?
Schweinsteiger, obviously, is huge. I mean, all of our signings have been pretty impressive. Depay was the first one.
Darmian.
Young, talented.
Darmian's good.
Darmian.
I always like Darmian. Yeah.
Where did he come from, Darwin?
He was
Torino, but yeah,
really?
Stellar's team lost him.
Okay.
But yeah, overall, great signings. Definitely improved. Schneiderlin, obviously.
How do they fit into Van Gaal's?
Apparently, I mean, I know a lot about him, but his system is pretty bizarre. But apparently, they fit his system very well, and he's going to go for guys that fit his system. So he thinks they fit his system. They still need a center back. And I actually read an article. They are going to be getting at least two more guys, they said, or they want to get two more guys. So hopefully, I think they need a center back and another forward. Because right now, it's really just ruined.
Yeah, you got rid of RVP.
If he even plays.
Yeah,
but
I think
he's
got
to go
MLS.
Too.
So yeah, that's true. You might need to get some
and
forwards.
Sell Johnny Evans, please. Johnny Evans out.
Mm-hmm. So what about Milan? How'd you guys do?
I'm not convinced yet. Like, I don't know how Mihailovic is going to, like, what his system is going
to
be.
You're going to get used to saying that.
Mihailovic. Yeah, so, like, I think he
Resident
did,
Evil, right?
He did well with the Sampdoria team that he had last year. They ended up in 7, so it's not like, they're winning titles or anything.
Europa League, baby.
Yeah, well, they did better than Milan, so I guess that's something to say. Bertolacci was one of the big signings. We kept most of our players came from within Italy that we picked up. Luis Adriano was another one. He's 28. Carlos Bacca is 28. Two strikers. So I was hoping for Ibra to come back. Cause I think El Shaarawy leaving was huge. We've always all of our up and coming stars recently, like Pato is the other big example, have just been injured all the time, so we never saw them develop, right? And El Shaarawy actually scored for Monaco in his first friendly too, figures.
I didn't like El Shaarawy,
but it's like
except for his hair.
except for his hair.
But I think El Shaarawy was the future of the club, and him leaving is a big step. But we were talking about this I think the other day, Sean, and that I think right now the priority is to get back in Champs League, because we're not going to sign bigger players. Like, I think if we were in Champs League, Ibra would have come back, for example.
A lot of guys.
Kong Dongbia.
But the
Kong
weird
Dongbia,
thing,
I think we would have gotten Jackson Martinez was the other one we lost.
I thought you guys had him.
I know. It was pretty much a done deal. We cleared house, which is good. Like, Rubinho's finally gone.
Bonero.
Officially.
Oh my gosh.
Essien and Muntari are both gone now. Boquetti's gone. Bonero, thank God, is gone. Like, I don't
Player
know.
Of the year, baby.
Bonero. I can't stand him. Van Hinkle went back on after the loan. Desher went back. We got rid of Pazzini, finally. Another player I just could not stand. He did nothing. I get if you're friends, because him and Pippo played together when Pippo was coaching, so I get, like, I'm pretty sure that's why he got so much playing time. But, like, it came to crunch time where there were games where, we'd be one goal down or we'd be tied or whatever it was, and, and he would just sub on Pazzini. It was just like, and he, I think he had 3 goals all season. It's like, come on, like, why do you keep going to this player?
I don't know, man. It's
Rubinho.
Who knows how they decide on players?
So I don't know. Brutal. I mean, it'll be interesting with financial fair play to see. Like, we so far we've gotten 9.5 million and we've sold just under 50. Or sorry, we spent just under 50. So there's a little bit of a gap still that we have to make up for. We do have a big investor with Mr. B from Thailand. So apparently he's putting in...
Mr. B.
The club was valued at $1 billion, which is absurd to me.
I mean, maybe the name? I don't know.
So I think there needs to be two or three big signings. Ibra is that one signing, I think, that's been elusive to us. But I think we also need center backs.
So you're basically looking at 5th, 6th place again this year.
I don't think we have a Champions League team. I don't think we have a
Champions League team. I mean, Inter's strength.
It's going to come a lot down to coaching, so too.
It's not going to be easy.
No.
Napoli, I feel like, didn't make that many moves. What about Roma? I don't know if
Roma's still, I think, a step ahead.
It's amazing to me that Roma fell off as much as they did last year.
Yeah, at the end.
They had such a solid start to the season. But, I mean, Juve's still going to be the team everybody's chasing. I don't see them, you know, not.
Unless they lose, Pogba.
Pogba's big. But even then, if they make 120 mil off Pogba, they're going to buy two or three.
I mean, they already bought.
They lost Tevez.
I mean, they've made some decent buys, but I don't know. I guess we'll see.
What about Barca? How are we doing?
So Barca, you know, we're in the middle of the transfer ban, so obviously.
They sell Messi?
You're not allowed to get anybody.
But you've signed contracts.
No, wait. Transfer bans mean nothing.
It's so stupid.
We'll talk about this some other time. But, you know, I obviously love my club, but it's pretty silly. So, I mean, I guess we signed less than we would have. I don't know. So, basically, we signed Alex Vidal from Seville. He's a really good – he's trash. A winger. But so, basically, the idea is that we re-signed Dani Alves because a lot of people feel like he's on the decline. He did really well in, the final third of the season, but he's on the decline. But
he'd be tough to get rid of, though. I think
he is. He's like kind of a club fixture, but a lot of people felt, you know, it's like one
he's
of those
declining
older players.
For sure.
But so the weird thing is, though, Vidal, he's not a right back. But the thing is, our right backs play so far forward, you kind of need wingers. So maybe you'll slot him in there. We'll see how it works. And then our other big signing was Arda Turan, who was at Atletico Madrid, and he's really good. He's a midfielder and he can play both sides. He plays offensively and defensively, so it's nice to get an all-around guy. The only tough thing is I don't totally know who drops out.
Messi, for sure.
Out. But the midfield is pretty much always it's Iniesta, Busquets, and Rakitic. I don't know who you necessarily take out. I mean, Busquets anchors the midfield. Rakitic and Iniesta kind of go forward. I mean, I feel bad because he's a really good player, but I guess he'd be a really good sub. I mean, the real question is, the idea is Iniesta's getting older. Mm-hmm. And aside from he had a bad start to the season, but he had an amazing second half to final third. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. The big thing on the horizon is Pogba. I don't know. It kind of sounds like Pogba wants to come to Barca, which would be amazing. But it's one of those things where this is one of the few areas where the transfer ban actually does mean something. I feel like a player of that caliber doesn't
He's easily the
go.
Hottest player right now.
Yeah.
Whoever signs him, I think, is going to have a good season.
The only other minor thing I would say, the transfer ban normally...
No, I'm just pissed that he was at Man U. And
I know. Yeah, I know. Yes, I remember I you saying. That was Ferguson's You even last said, you're like, Pogba, why are you selling? Like, I remember. I didn't know who so
Ferguson mad. Was just like, you know what? Screw you guys. Yeah. We're letting him go.
I don't get it.
But, I mean, I don't know. You can't see every future. Ferguson had a lot of good picks, too. So, I mean, but
he won
good
every other
go.
Year. So.
Yeah, he's pretty much. Yeah.
But, I mean, that was definitely.
Pogba. That was a mistake.
And I will say even though we beat Juve in the final, I loved seeing Pogba being such a young guy, him hugging Pirlo, who was just crying when he's like, we were so close. And that was really mature of him. I feel like I didn't expect
But he knows he's going to win. He's clearly going to go to one of the top teams.
No, but I'm saying it's mature of him to show that kind of emotion. Like, not leadership, but it felt like something that young players don't usually do when it's Pirlo.
Yeah.
But it was cool to see. So I wanna see more of him. I mean, he'll be great on the French national team, and we'll see how it goes.
All right.
Well, very nice.
That basically wraps things up. Thanks for listening in. We're gonna have this podcast every week. So if you want to check us out, we have a few other podcasts too. Go to thecommentist.com. And check us out. If you can, go on iTunes, rate, and subscribe to our podcast. And we'll see you next week. Thanks.
See you.